Oh, no, that's just a difference.
Change that, I guess, to 7 at this point.
Oh. There it goes. Hey, all right, we've connected. Woo!
Is everybody's mics on just to make sure?
Test, test, test. Yes.
Perfect.
All right.
Double test. Thank you, Susan.
All Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, who out of love for us willingly submitted to betrayal, suffering, and death, have mercy on us. Bind us together with you in Christ's death, that we might rise with him in the life that is to come. Amen.
My servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall contemplate. Believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed.
They pierced him in the side, and he never said a mumbling word. They pierced him in the side, and he
we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. The blood came streaming down, and he never said a mumbling word. The blood came streaming down, and he never said a mumbling word. Not a word, not a word. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper.
He hung his head and died, and he never said a mumbling word. He hung his head and died, and he never said a mumbling word. Not a word, not a word, not a word.
Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest.
There is a song, 1,000 years older than Jesus, written by his ancestor David. It is a song of lamentation, a song of grief and sorrow, sung by someone who feels completely abandoned, even by God. And though this song was sung a millennium before Christ took his first breath, its mournful music tells how Jesus will breathe his last.
My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also shook him over and beat him.
"Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. But as for me, I am a worm and not human, scorned by all and despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips, they shake their heads. Trust in the Lord, let the Lord deliver. Let God rescue him if God so delights in him."
The song cries out to God, remembering how in ages past God delivered God's people, the singer's own ancestors. And yet now it is God's own people who mock and accuse the singer. It is God's own people who ridicule the singer's faith. They think him a fool for trusting in God.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then, after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept.
"Yet you are the one who drew me forth from the womb and kept me safe on my mother's breast. I have been entrusted to you since I was born. You were my God when I was still in my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help."
The singer pleads with God, reminding God of God's goodness, remembering how it was God who protected him from birth, how even in the womb God kept him safe. And now, when the singer's closest friends have betrayed and denied him, the singer pleads with God to be true, to be the same God as of old, to be with him when there is no one else.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Many young bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their jaws at me, like a slashing and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint. My heart within my breast is melting wax. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And you have laid me in the dust of death. Packs of dogs close me in, a band of evildoers circles round me. They pierce my hands and my feet.
The song sings of bulls roaring like lions and dogs. Bulls are an ancient symbol for priests who offer sacrifices to God, but now these very priests prepare God as a sacrifice. And they roar like lions, an ancient symbol of royalty. And in their jealousy, they tear apart the true king. The dogs belong to the Roman emperor, his soldiers and bureaucrats who surround the singer and prepare to pierce his hands and feet with nails.
My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby, who was coming in from the country, to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take.
I can count all my bones while they stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments around them, for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
The singer wonders what his life is worth. To the bystanders, his death is just entertainment, another diversion in the day. To the soldiers who kill him, his death is an opportunity to profit as they divide his clothing. But even still, the singer hopes beyond hope that to the Lord, his life still might have meaning.
My God! My God, why have you forsaken me?
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me.
Once more the singer will plead with God. The powers of this world are strong. The power of death is near. But surely God is stronger. Surely God is nearer. Surely.
My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
When Jesus cries out on the cross, Jesus cries out in song. Jesus sings his despair. Jesus sings the words of his ancestor David. Jesus sings the word that Queen Esther quoted when she discovered that her husband had authorized a genocide against her people. Jesus sings the song that he had sung every year at the festival of Purim in Esther's honor. Dying on the cross, Jesus does the only thing that there is left to do. He sings. Jesus sings the song of his ancestors, the song of sorrow, the song that has seen every generation through the shadow of death. And in doing so, Jesus makes their song his song. And so the song of those who suffer becomes Christ's song, becomes God's song. And God will always sing with us in our sorrow.
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, Listen, he is calling for Elijah. And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, Truly, this man was God's son.
Jesus dies, but the song does not. This song of lamentation continues. For lamentation has a purpose beyond singing of sadness. The purpose of lament is to pour out all our tears and all our grief until there is nothing left in our heart but hope. And then, and only then, when our soul has been thoroughly watered with weeping, can we at last sing God's praises.
I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise, all you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Jesus dies, but the song does not. For other voices will pick up its melody. The women who left their homes in Galilee to follow Jesus to the cross, they heard his dying song. And for the next 3 days, it will haunt them. It will be the tune that they can't get out of their head. Its tempo will drive them to the tomb where Christ is buried. Its lyrics will lead them to the ends of the earth, and they will teach the world to sing the song that is Christ.
My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and, summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted.
Jesus dies, but the song does not. For the song speaks of the dead, who even still sing God's praises. The song proclaims that generations not yet born will take up this song that begins in death and ends in victory. For though in our Bibles we title this song Psalm 22, it is the song of resurrection. It is the song of life from death. It is the song that is Jesus. And though Jesus on the cross has only the strength to sing the first stanza, the song once begun will be sung in full. Jesus does not finish the song with his lips, but with his very life, he fulfills it. For rising from the grave, Jesus proclaims God's deliverance to generations not yet born, saying, "The Lord has acted."
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.
Jesus dies, but the song does not. And so, as we gaze upon the cross, that place where our pain and sorrow becomes God's pain and sorrow, may we sing as Jesus did. May we sing of our fear, our loneliness, and our despair. May we pour out our pain to God until there is nothing left in our hearts but hope. And if we do not have the strength to sing of hope, may we trust that even if our voices falter, the song will carry on. For it is God who sings with us on the cross. Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For the next few minutes, you are invited to remain and behold the life-giving cross. And when you have finished your time of silence, may Christ hold you in peace until we gather again Sunday morning to hear stories, reading, and music, and the promise that Christ is risen on the Easter sunrise service. Amen.